WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, February 22nd, 2016. I hope you guys are having a great start to your week. We have a jam-packed hour in store for you today, folks. We will try to cram most of the weekend's big news from the sporting world into 60 minutes. As we will talk about yesterday's Michigan State women's basketball game against Minnesota. What a performance from both teams, folks. It was, the final score looked like an NBA score, okay? You don't want to miss that chat. I was at the game, got a chance to chat with Ariel Powers, Susie Merchant, as well as Tori Jankowska. You'll get to hear from them in just a minute. We will also chat about the Michigan men's basketball game as they made it very interesting against Maryland. Is Michigan on the bubble? Yeah, we'll debate that. Also, Tom Izzo, Denzel Valentine, and Matt Costello took the podium today at the Breslin Center to address the media. Now on the eve of its matchup tomorrow on the road at Ohio State. You don't want to miss that. And we'll wrap things up with your weekend winners and so much more. If you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you know that number 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 22nd. All right, the number 25-ranked Michigan State women's basketball team were victorious in a shootout yesterday against Minnesota at the Breslin, 114-106. Yes, 114-106, your final score. The win gave head coach Susie Merchant her 400th career victory as head coach. Ariel Powers led the way for the Spartans with a career-high 40 points, while the game's leading scorer was Minnesota's Rachel Banham. Guess what, folks? She threw up 52 points. Are you kidding me? 52! The total mark, making her the Big Ten's all-time leading scorer. Now, MSU's Tori Jankowska added 24 points and a career-high 15 assists. The Spartans have just two regular season games remaining the next coming Wednesday at Illinois. We'll have more on that one in just a second. The Michigan men's basketball team fell in a close contest on the road with number 6 Maryland yesterday, 86-82, the final of that one. Michigan led with as little as 6 minutes left in the game, but could not finish the upset bid. Junior forward Mark Donnell, he led the way for the Wolverines with a game-high 25 points to go along with 5 blocks. He was one of 5 Wolverines to hit double digits in scoring. The Terrapins hung on for the win despite star player Melo Trimble shooting just 30% from the field. Every game is crucial now for the bubble-bound Wolverines. Next up is a home tilt with Northwestern on Wednesday night. The Michigan State hockey team, get this, swept just its second series of the year and first since early November with back-to-back road victories against Wisconsin over the weekend. Much needed, to say the least. Now, Friday night's win came courtesy of late Matt DeBlau's goal to seal it with a 4-3 win. Saturday saw a similar story with McKenzie McEachern goal coming with less than 2 minutes left to play en route to a 3-1 dub. The six-point weekend moves the Spartans into fourth place in the Big Ten standings with 4 regular season games remaining. Michigan State has an off week before returning to host Minnesota on March 4th and 5th. The Detroit Pistons fell victim to one of the NBA's best individual performances in recent memory yesterday as Anthony Davis, AD, and the New Orleans Pelicans came out victorious 111-106, the final of that one. Davis posted a Pelicans record 59 points and 20 rebounds, joining Shaquille O'Neal and Wilt Chamberlain as the only players in NBA history to score 55 or more points and grab 20 or more rebounds in a single game. Crazy, right? Reggie Jackson led the way for the Pistons with 34 points, but it wasn't enough, as Detroit's losing streak extends to 5 games. It won't get much easier either, as Detroit travels to Cleveland tonight for a matchup against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, tip-off set for 7 o'clock. Just days after being acquired and waived by the Portland Trail Blazers, ex-Cleveland Cavalier forward Anderson Varejão has found a new home. Varejão confirmed that he will be signing with the defending NBA champs, the Golden State Warriors. The Cavs sent Varejão to Portland on a deal for Channing Frye, where the Blazers wasted little time in releasing him. The 33-year-old veteran only appeared in 31 games for the Cavs this year, averaging just under 3 points and 3 rebounds per game. The road woes continue for the Detroit Red Wings as they drop their 6th straight road contest, I should say, last night to the New York Rangers, 1-0 in OT. Wings goalie Jimmy Howard got the start and had his best performance since early on this year, but was given no offensive support to help him out. Kevin Klein scored the game winner 2 minutes into the extra session. Overall, it is the 4th straight loss for the Wings, and they'll look to bounce back Tuesday night when they play host to Columbus. Denny Hamlin was the winner of yesterday's NASCAR season opener, the 58th annual Daytona 500. Hamlin came out on top of a photo finish alongside Martin Truex Jr. Hamlin edged out Truex by 1/100th of a second. It was a crazy finish, folks. The finish was the closest since NASCAR introduced electronic scoring back in 1993. And last, Dallas police said Saturday they have obtained video surveillance as they continue the investigation into the domestic assault complaint against Johnny Manziel. Police did not specify the nature of the video, but the footage is from the Hotel Zaza in Dallas, which is where Manziel's former girlfriend, Colleen Crowley, alleged the assault began. The Dallas Morning News said the police said the investigation could be concluded by the end of next week. All right, folks, that's it for your headliners. Let's start the show.
Players in the Big Ten, and to say that about Rachel Banham, that is just a tremendous feat for the senior. No one has scored more points in conference history than number one from Minnesota. She is number one in the Big Ten.
Is she? Yeah, I mean, she can play. I mean, you know, you watch her game is very well balanced. Right, going left and pulling up and shooting, going right, pulling up and shooting. You know, floaters. I mean, she can do it all. She can do it all. So, like I said, when I saw she scored 60, it didn't seem like much of a fluke to me. And until they figure out a way to solve her weapons, she's going to continue to do it.
Welcome to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I trust you had a fabulous weekend. What a performance. I should say plural. I should make that plural, to be honest. But what? It was just unbelievable yesterday at the Breslin. I went out. I was at the Breslin to cover that Michigan State women's basketball game as they played host to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And I got to say this, folks. I witnessed probably the most eye-popping performance that I've seen in athletics in person yesterday at the Breslin. Again, it was a 1 p.m. tip-off. And the hype is real, folks. Rachel Banham is the hottest baller in all of basketball right now. She had a 60-point performance last week. She hit a game winner against Iowa as well in the same week. And yesterday, throwing up 52 points. Again, 52 points, doing it on 50% shooting from the floor. She was 14 of 18 from the floor, folks. And she set a Big Ten single season scoring record last night against the Spartans. Spartans do get the dub, 114-106 the final. But man, oh man, was it so fun to watch Miss Rachel Banham put on a show. And what you just heard was actually a snippet when Rachel broke the record from my former mentor in college, Lisa Byington, who's now a play-by-play voice for the Big Ten Network. She called the game, did an outstanding job calling it on the network yesterday. And what you heard after that was, of course, Kobe Bean Bryant right after his game against the Chicago Bulls, his final time playing in the Windy City last night. Kobe, I don't know if you guys know this, but Kobe is a very big Rachel Banham fan. And I actually meant to bring this up during our Reflection Friday segment on Friday. And I totally forgot about it. But when Rachel Banham threw up, which is an NCAA single game tying record, scoring 60 points last week and also hitting that game winner against Iowa, Kobe Bryant immediately went to Twitter. Game recognizes game, folks. And Kobe has become such a big fan of Rachel Banham. And I saw in person why yesterday. Kobe actually tweeted last week to Rachel Banham with the hashtag Mamba Blood and congratulating her on what she's been able to do throughout the conference. And Rachel joked yesterday throughout the weekend, I should say, about reading that tweet from Kobe Bryant, who is her favorite player of all time. She was shaking when she read that tweet from Kobe. And it just isn't fair. I mean, watching her play, and I see, you know, I wanted to see if the hype was real when I went to the Breslin yesterday, and I got a chance to really analyze her game, you know, sitting courtside and watching her play. And I see why a lot of people compare her to Steph Curry, you know? They call her the Maroon Mamba, I guess you could say. I guess that's the nickname that people are dubbing her right now. But I see why, because her shot is so pure. It's one of the purest jump shots, I've seen in person, folks. And it reminds me so much of Steph Curry's. It's crazy because when you look at Steph Curry, what I admire so much about Steph Curry and why he is the greatest shooter of all time is that when Steph, you know, what allows his jump shot to be so dangerous is that it's already set right when he comes out from the hip. You know, most guys, when you see them shoot the basketball, most players, when you see them shoot the basketball, they come up and right around the forehead is when they get it set up and then they release. But Steph, from the hip, it's already in form, and then it's so quick, you can't even block the shot. I mean, by the time it hits his forehead, it's gone. And it's exactly, almost to the T, how Rachel Banham shoots. And Michigan State, they tried. They threw a lot of bodies at her. We saw Tori Jankowska give a go at her. We saw Brandi Agee give a go at her. We saw Ariel Powers give a go at her. And it was just like she wasn't phased, man. She's one of those players that you got to pick up at half court. As soon as she crosses the timeline, you have to be in her face because she only needs just a smidget of space to get the ball off. Here is actually Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers on going out there and trying to stop Rachel Banham and what makes Rachel so good.
Limit her shots, try and contest every shot. She's not, like Coach always says, she's not a shot taker, she's a shot maker. We were playing some pretty solid defense. There's a couple times in the first half she got away from us with wide open looks, but I mean, second half she was hitting fallaways and some shots that were just, how did that go in? So, I mean, you play as good of defense as you can, limit the other players, and come out with a win.
Are you more impressed with her now than you were before the game?
Sure. I mean, she's a good player. She scored 60 points in the game. And it's not like people are laying down in front of her and letting her shoot. So she's a great player, and I think she's one of the best I've ever played against.
She can shoot. She can shoot the ball. She can shoot the ball. And a lot of times, even if we were doing good defensively, I felt like she would lean into her defender and get a lot of those calls because of the body contact. And she, a lot of those shots she would finish too. So she's just a great scorer altogether.
I know how good of a scorer she is. You know, it's like you have to contain players like that, which we didn't. We still came out with the win, so that was a good job. But she's a scorer, and that's what she's going to do every night.
Yeah, Rachel Banham, I mean, she was absolutely just mind-blowing yesterday, folks. Again, I had never witnessed anything like that in person, and she certainly put on a show. And it got to the point where – and it was a great atmosphere at the Breslin yesterday. Of course, it was their annual Play for K event. Everyone dyed pink. The lower bowl was filled. You know, the top tier – well, I should say the middle tier was filled as well. And it was one of the first times when we rarely see the very upper stands of the Breslin actually go open as well, and they brought back the black veil for fans to sit up there and to witness that game. But again, if you like offense, you loved yesterday's game. Again, 114-106. I mean, again, that's an NBA score, folks. It was actually the highest total for this Michigan State women's basketball team in a half ever, and you know, it's just remarkable. You know, and I can't even say that it was really bad defense. It was just better offense on both sides, folks, and Ariel Powers. I mean, I've constantly talked about how good she is, right? She went 14 of 26, 40 points. She was actually, folks, and, you know, I was talking to our production assistant, Mike Masson, before the show, but she was just 1 point away from tying the single game scoring record in Michigan State women's basketball history, which is 41. She got a chance to go to the free throw line at the very end of the game, in the last moments of the game, to break that record, and she had no idea. She missed both free throws, and you'll get to hear her in just a second. But I want to play also a snippet from Jankowska and also Powers on Susie Merchant getting her 400th career victory. And she is also now one victory short of attaining 200, number 200, for her coaching tenure here at Michigan State. But here is Jankowska and Powers talking about their coach.
It's awesome. I love playing for Coach Merchant, and I think she deserves everything that comes her way. She's a competitor, and I love – that's probably my favorite part about playing for her. She has the competitive nature that, I don't know – a lot of other coaches have as much as her, and I think that's why she has been so successful, and that's why I love playing for her.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. We didn't even know until after the game.
So nobody.
And we're like, oh, man, this is great for her. You know, so when she came into the locker room, we started singing for her. So that was a good thing. That was fun, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Nobody realized it. That was the funny thing. I mean, when the final buzzer sounded, you know, Susie was kind of caught off guard. All of us were caught off guard, to be honest, because Luana K. Simon was also in the house, and Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis was also there. And all of a sudden, you get this announcement, yay, congratulations to Susie Merchant. This is her 400th career victory. And then we see Hollis and Luana K. Simon go on to the basketball court, and they're taking pictures, and the whole team is taking pictures with Susie Merchant. And nobody really had any idea. And I talked to Susie afterwards, and she's like, "Yeah, I had no clue. I didn't know." And they came out, and they also presented her with a small like gold gift basket, which was pretty cool. But congratulations to Susie Merchant. She's so competitive. And you know what we talk about? You know a lot about, of course, and grantly so, Tom Izzo and how much of a competitor he is, and that fire that we see from Izzo on the sidelines. But I don't know if you guys have been to an MSU women's basketball game, but Susie Merchant exhibits those same qualities on the sideline as well. I mean, she's so animated on the sidelines. She's so fiery. She's so competitive. And it's just good to see her this year, you know, have a team that's healthy and is really making a mark in the Big Ten Conference, because I covered that team last year and got to see this team really go through a ton of woes. It was the toughest year for Susie Merchant in her entire career, because she dealt with so many injuries, so much so that this team had to go out and recruit a player from the Michigan State volleyball team just to have enough bodies to compete. And I remember talking to Susie during that moment, and she was just so depleted and just so out of it because she knows how much potential, you know, this team, you know, had last season to be great. But injuries just seemingly came out of nowhere. And she's so competitive and she doesn't like to lose. And it was driving her insane. But now with healthy bodies and a great core group of players, they certainly going to make a deep run, I think, in the Big Ten tourney and also, of course, the NCAA tourney when that comes around. But man, it was just a crazy atmosphere yesterday because it's rare when you get to see triple digits from any women's basketball team, let alone both teams scoring in triple digits in regulation. And then, you know, going back to Rachel Banham, I can't stress enough how special that was. It got to the point where even though Michigan State fans packed the Breslin yesterday, every time Rachel Banham scored, you could hear oohs and ahs throughout the crowd. It was absolutely magnificent to witness that. And then on the flip side, you had Ariel Powers, 40 points for her. Tori Jankowska, a double-double, 24 points, 15 assists. It was certainly special. And here, I want to play this bite, pretty comical. Ariel Powers, again, coming just 1 point short of tying the single-game scoring record for Michigan State women's basketball history. She could have beaten it if she would have just went to the free throw line and hit both of her free throws. And she didn't know until after the game. Check this out.
Gary, were you aware that, I believe when you went to that free throw line the last time, were you aware that you were very close to the single game record for Michigan State?
No, wasn't. Yeah. And I would have focused a lot more on free throws. That's going to haunt me for a while because I don't know when I'm ever going to be able to do that again. So, just have to let it go.
Wednesday. Curtis here for a while.
She handled it very well. As soon as I asked the question, you guys couldn't see it, of course, it's radio, but her head immediately sunk down and she had on a cap and she like brimmed, you know, she like kind of like scaved the brim of her cap and was like, ah, oh, I was so close to it. But a great performance nonetheless. And I watched SportsCenter last night. And again, they brought up, you know, Kobe Bryant here for the first time that Rachel Banham had 52 points, but they also had another segment. Steve Levy did a good job of transitioning to this, but I guess it's an oh, by the way segment. And they not only showed Rachel, but they said, oh, by the way, there's this other player by the name of Ariel Powers that tore it up as well. And they had a great montage of Ariel Powers in her performance last night. But it was a special time at the Breslin yesterday, folks. And one that I won't forget anytime soon. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, did you know about Rachel Banham before this weekend?
No, I didn't. But I've been doing my research and I have no idea how I didn't know about her. She seems to be, first off, that's one of the most fluid shots I've ever seen at the college level in women's college basketball. Very much Steph Curry-esque, just like you said. And it sounds like the crowd was playing their part too. Because, you know, whenever Steph Curry walks into a gym, you might be rooting for the home team, but you're also rooting to see something exceptional from Curry. Same effect, the Rachel Banham effect, I guess you could call it. So that was crazy, and she also hit a buzzer beater on
from half
the
court.
15th mm-hmm. against Iowa. So it's just, I mean, this girl is incredible. I can't believe that I didn't hear about her, but wow, like you said, Steph Curry-esque.
Well, yeah, you brought up the buzzer. So you were talking about the buzzer beater against Iowa. She had one yesterday at the Breslin as well. I don't know if you saw the highlights, but
I
she had one
know.
from half court that she made and just made it look routine. It was really special, man. Just to see her in person. And I made this comment as well when talking with some of the beat writers at the Breslin after the game was said and done. And, you know, I sat there and said to myself, you know, when you watch Rachel, you know, and you just look at her, you don't expect her to just go off on you. You know, it kind of reminded me of Larry Bird back in the day. Like you look at Larry, you look at Rachel, they don't look really athletic. Like when you look at Ariel Powers, you can tell she's just really athletic. The way she moves. But when
she's
you watch
a baller,
Rachel,
yeah.
It's like, But then when she gets the ball in her hands, it's like, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, she's got great handle. She's got a great first step. And it's the thing about Rachel, too. She does not force anything. Again, 52 points, but a very efficient 52. 14 of 28, that's 50% from the field. She didn't force anything. And if she does, she's making sure she gets some contact and goes to the free throw line. She shot 16 free throws yesterday, and she made 15 of them.
Well, 9 of 13 from beyond the arc. That's the most impressive stat, if you ask me. And like you said, very unsuspecting in terms of stature and the way that she plays the game. Nothing really that stands out and jumps out at you from an athleticism standpoint. Al, I think the Steph Curry comparisons and parallels just keep stacking up. This is the women's college basketball version of Steph Curry, and we could see that when she goes to the WNBA as well.
Yeah, she'll be a fantastic player at the next level, certainly. I mean, there's really no question about it. But this is also a conversation that I had with Keaton Galogli as we were hitting the doors to jet on out of the Breslin as well. And, you know, it will be very unfortunate if Minnesota does not make the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, in many regards, they are a bubble team right now. I mean, Minnesota, they sit at what now, 10-6 in the Big Ten Conference. Overall, 18-9. And doing some reading right now, Minnesota is one of those fringe teams that they could make the NCAA tournament, and they may not. But I think they will really need a solid showing in the Big Ten tournament, which is right around the corner, right around the corner. And also, I want to give a shout out to Carly Wagner, also of Minnesota. She's a fantastic player as well. I mean, she went 8 of 20 for 20 points. And as far as, you know, going back to Michigan State now, you know, it was just encouraging also to see Tori Jankowska finally get out of the funk that she's been in. She struggled, you know, like the 2 to 3 prior games entering this matchup against Minnesota. And, you know, finally she just got it going. And I had to, I talked with her after on whether or not when you're really struggling like that, if mentally it takes a toll on you and mentally for her, whether or not she was just thinking too much. And here was her response.
It was the Nebraska game. I was in my own head, really. Just thinking about when am I going to get my shot? Is it going to go in? You know, things like that. And it's kind of talking to just a couple different people. It's like I'm not just a shooter. I'm not like, I don't know, Melissa Dixon last year from Iowa. She was just pretty much a shooter. And that's not all that's to my game. I can get to the rim. I can shoot pull-ups. I can set people up. So I just got to focus on that and being the dangerous player at all times.
Who'd you talk to?
You know, the coaches, some friends that are pretty smart about basketball and just life in general.
Yeah, that was certainly encouraging to see Tori Jankowska do what she was able to do last night. She went 6 of 15 from the floor, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, 24 points, 15 assists for her. And, you know, again, she was in a bit of a funk, especially from the three-point line, where she really couldn't hit anything these past few games, but really comes out with a great showing against Minnesota. And playing in a game like this, again, it was mostly offense, folks. You know, if you are a fan of defense, this was not the game for you. So I had to ask the players after, you know, Jankowska and Powers, whether or not playing in a game like this was fun or hectic.
Playing in a game like this, Tori, fun or hectic?
It's fun. I don't know if you see me. The one steal I got, I was smiling the whole way down the court. This is why we play. I mean, just you go out there and you play basketball because you love it, and it's exciting, and there's so many people out there coming to watch you play. It's just you can't get all worked up, and if the shots aren't going in, and if you're turning the ball over too much, you just got to play and remember why.
It was really fun. It was really competitive, too. It was back and forth, back and forth. And the thing is about this game that was different from other close games, it just felt like everybody was into it. Everybody's intensity and effort was there. And a lot of times, the reason why we get close games is because we don't have everybody collectively giving effort. And I think this game, it was a lot fun. A lot more fun because of that. Because everybody was into it and giving effort and trying.
You know, Isaac, whenever whenever I'm looking at a matchup where you have a juggernaut on the other side of the court, you know, the thing about Rachel Banham is that she's going to get hers. She's that good. She's going to go out there and get hers. But if you want to combat her and at the end of the day get the dub, you can only hope to contain her, and you got to make sure that she doesn't, you know, she's going to light it up, but you have to make sure that those around her don't also get off. And Michigan State was very, you know, they certainly lived on the danger side here because they let Carly Wagner, who I brought up, she had 20 points. They let Carly Wagner, you know, down the stretch of that game in the fourth quarter, you know, start to score some easy buckets, and I really thought that the game was slipping away. But again, Ariel Powers did what Ariel does. She came down and answered those buckets. I thought they did a good job defensively, you know, as far as boxing out and getting rebounds and not allowing Minnesota, when they did miss a shot down the stretch of that game, to get second chance opportunities. And, you know, for me, it was just about letting Rachel, I guess, do her thing because she's going to do it regardless, but not letting anyone else get off. That was big. That was really big in that game.
Yeah, like you mentioned, there was always a strategy that we employed in Lil League, which was, I mean, basically, you let their best player do what he does. Because at the end of the day, you know, like you mentioned, he's going to get his. He's going to put up numbers. And if you focus too much on double teaming him and then trying to stop him from scoring the inevitable amount of points that he will, then he'll create chances for others as well, and you'll be in double trouble, if you will. So the fact that they have a player like that doesn't mean you have to play them any different necessarily. You just try to shut them down the best you possibly can in full awareness. This is a good player. They're going to beat us up either way.
Definitely. And also a stat I want to bring up as well, Michigan State, 34 assists. So even though, I mean, you know, Ariel Powers got off and Torrey Jankowski got off, they were certainly sharing the basketball as well. Michigan State had five players in double digits: Powers, Jankowska, Hines, A.G., and also Kennedy Johnson. Jenna Allen, excuse me. She had 10 points in that game as well. 34 assists on 42 buckets is pretty good. On the contrary, Minnesota with 17 assists. So Michigan State moving forward now with so key, and this will be a big storyline as this team trucks along and finishes out the regular season. Michigan State wants to finish in the top four of the Big Ten Conference as they will play in the Big Ten Tournament, which will be out in Indianapolis, Indiana this year, because the top four teams in the Big Ten Conference will get a double bye. It's certainly easier to win three straight than to have to truck through the tournament needing to win five straight. And here is Jankowska and Powers elaborating on that goal.
It's big. It's a big win for us. They're receiving votes, whatever, almost right outside of the top 25. And to get a win like this, we haven't really put away teams that are either ranked or could be ranked. So it's big for us moving forward, carry on the momentum from the end of the game at Rutgers to the away at Illinois and then hopefully home at Ohio State. So it's going to be big momentum for us.
Yeah, well, we just started talking about it.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure if everybody was aware. That's why, you know, before the game today, I told them we need this win to be this position in the postseason, right? So since I've been here, I don't even think we've had a double bye yet.
Exactly. Right.
And we need that. And that's a good thing for your body, you know, and most of the teams that usually go far have that double bye, and they have a, you know, a chance because of that. So
right. Easier to win three straight than to win five. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and coming into that game against Minnesota, Michigan State, Minnesota, and Indiana were tied for third place in the Big Ten with the win. Michigan State now solely has position of that third spot, just in back of Maryland and Ohio State. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk some Michigan State men's basketball. Again, Tom Izzo, Matt Costello, and Denzel Valentine addressed the media at the Breslin today, and we are also going to dive into a conspiracy surrounding Denzel Valentine, which Tom Izzo surprisingly addressed today. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, I got to remind you all before moving on here that Current Sports TV will be in live and full effect this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. That's when we tape each week in our WKAR TV studios. I'll be sitting down with Dale Beard, who was actually a part of that 1977 Lansing Everett Boys High School Basketball State Championship team, playing alongside, of course, the great Irvin Magic Johnson. He was actually Magic's point guard during that time. And Dale, just a spectacular player. He also played overseas. He is now an assistant coach under Desmond Ferguson, who is now the newest head coach for the Lansing Everett Vikings. They're having a pretty solid year. Don't know if you guys have been following what Jamyron Jackson has been doing on the basketball court. But Dale is going to be joining me this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. to talk about his time with Magic, their relationship now. Of course, this year's Lansing Everett boys basketball team and whether or not this team has what it takes to win a state championship and just March Madness in general. So if you want to get a chance to meet Dale and I and join in on that episode, again, we tape Wednesday night at 6 p.m. here on the campus of Michigan State University on the first floor of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. All you have to do is sign up online for free at WKAR.org. And again, just a matter of just showing up. All right, if you can't make that taping, you can catch Current Sports TV each and every week on WKAR-TV at 10:30 p.m. All right, let's talk a little MSU men's basketball here. You know, this is a comical discussion and one that I did not think was going to be addressed during today's press conference at the Breslin Center. And we actually played this bite for the first time last week. And what it centers on is a conspiracy theory surrounding the Michigan State men's basketball team, specifically when addressing Tom Izzo and Denzel Valentine. Now, it comes from former Ohio State basketball player Mark Titus, who is now a writer for ESPN's Grantland. Mark Titus was actually on Scott Van Pelt's, you know, late night SportsCenter show. And, you know, he elaborated on, you know, his favorites to go all the way in the big dance in men's college hoops. And, of course, Michigan State was brought up in the conversation because Denzel Valentine happened to be a guest with SVP on SportsCenter that night. And Mark Titus, he goes on to say, well, you know, I'm surprised, Scott, you know, why didn't you ask, you know, Denzel about the conspiracy theory surrounding Denzel Valentine? And what this conspiracy theory, you know, hinders on, and this is actually, I'm reading directly from Titus's Twitter page. You can follow him at Club Trillion. And this was actually a tweet that he sent out actually around the Denzel Valentine injury. This happened actually on, this tweet was sent on December 30th of last year at 11:59 a.m. He said, conspiracy theory, Valentine's not hurt. Izzo just doesn't want Michigan State peaking at the wrong time. Michigan State's tanking to set up resurgence down the stretch. Then he goes on to tweet this. Think about it. Every Izzo Final Four team except in 2001 lost in December. This team was too hot and Izzo knew it. Something had to be done. Then he continues saying, quote, isn't, quote, minor knee surgery to remove cartilage, end quote, the perfect fake injury? Could be back soon, but nobody is really sure. Wake up, sheeple. And he actually tweeted sheeple as well. And then, you know, the final few tweets here. Fact, Valentine wears leggings to cover his knees when he plays. How convenient that we won't be able to see scars when he comes back. MSU would not be good without Valentine. Be rusty when he comes back because everyone's roles are changing again. Then get hot mid-February, ride it into March. Nobody would suspect Izzo of doing this. He's the most lovable coach in college basketball. He knew this as well. It's almost too perfect. Prove me wrong. So this was something I brought up, I believe, for, wow, when did I play that bite, Isaac? Was it for Reflection Friday?
Believe so,
I think it was for Reflection Friday because I found it so comical. And I actually think I led the show with it. During one of the days last week because, you know, it was just such an out there thought. And I was actually a guest yesterday morning on Impact 89's The Pact, along with Brett Cast, who is a co-host on the show, who's also a PA here at Current Sports. And I didn't think they wanted to do it, but they threw the question to me. And I kind of diverted and said, you know what, you know, you can indulge in that thought if you want to, but at the end of the day, that will be questioning the integrity of one of the most beloved men in all of sports, not just basketball, and Tom Izzo. Very far-fetched to think that Tom Izzo would do something like this because he feels as though his team is peaking too soon. Again, they won 13 straight, the best start in Michigan State men's basketball history. And then Tom Izzo says, whoa, hold on. This is too much success. We need to do something here. You know, Valentine, you know, just say you're having surgery. We're going to sit you out for, you know, three games here. We may lose a couple, you know, which in back of my mind, I want to happen because we're peaking too soon here. And then we're going to have you come back and everything's going to be fine and we'll ride that momentum into March Madness. What? I mean, yeah. That's an out there thought, right? Yeah. That's a very out there thought. But it's one that has certainly gained steam as of late. And so much so, and I love this. I haven't heard the bite yet, but I'm looking at Joe Rexrode of the Detroit Free Press and his tweets. And Izzo actually talked about the Valentine conspiracy, saying, quote, "That is true. We didn't want that pressure. So I did fake that injury. Think of how ridiculous that is," end quote. So Izzo did address it in Joe right after, you know, he sends out that update from the presser. He says, quote, "And to me, it's unfortunate something that stupid was even addressed. But hey, it's his presser."
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this whole conspiracy? And are you buying anything that Mark Titus is saying?
No, I mean, the guy's got 120,000 Twitter followers, and that doesn't give him any sort of reputability or credibility. What it does do is enhance the amount of follows he'll get and things like that. It's a publicity stunt at the end of the day. I mean, no, I was trying to explain the logic of the argument, and I found no possible way to do so. Not wanting to peak early, what are they worried about? Becoming Kentucky of last year? Where, yeah, because I honestly believe that if Kentucky didn't go undefeated last year going up to that Final Four game, they probably will have won the championship. No. What? That makes no sense. It's better if you don't know how to lose. No, it's just, like I said, a publicity stunt to get a little bit more followers and everything like that, which is smart by him, but I don't think Mark Titus believes this for a second, and I don't think anybody else does either, except for possibly B.O.B. I think he is really on this boat. I think he's riding this all the way through.
Well, I tell you what, I really do think, you know, because Mark, I watched that night on SportsCenter, and he seemed very passionate about this subject. I do think Mark believes this. I'm not even going to hold you up, Isaac. And I do think that there are Spartan fans out there that may, you know, may fancy this discussion and believe they might buy into this. But again, it's so out there and so far-fetched. And I will say this, Isaac. I will say this. When talking about Tom Izzo, I do think that Tom Izzo at times during pressers, and Tom Izzo is a master at finding ways to motivate his players. I do believe that at times when Tom Izzo was in a press conference, he will say certain things to motivate his team, may call out a player, you know, or even in practice. I can imagine. I've sat in on many, you know, men's basketball practices, and I've seen his interactions with certain players. Tom Izzo just knows how to motivate his players, and he'll say something from time to time that is aimed at a certain player, a certain individual, to light a fire under them. But going this, you know, going far as to say, all right, Valentine, this is way too much success right now. We want to peak in March. We're going to have you fake an injury, okay, and say that we'll just call it surgery. Why don't we? And have you sit out three games because this is ridiculous. I want you guys peaking later on. It's so far-fetched, there's no way to prove it. Again, it's conspiracy barbershop talk,
well,
if you will, okay?
My favorite part about it is how he said, that's the perfect injury. Well, how is that the perfect injury? What's a perfect injury to feign, necessarily? Removing cartilage from a knee? I mean, okay, not to jump on the bandwagon whatsoever, but that actually is an observance, you know, taking note of that. He realized that Denzel Valentine wears the knee pads at the same time. It doesn't mean I believe it whatsoever. Maybe that's what he means by a perfect injury. Mm-hmm. I think of just as easily said, broken toe, something like that. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect injury to fake. I mean, this whole thing is just totally off the rocker, off the chain. It doesn't make any sense. It's hard to even talk about it.
Well, because there's no way to prove it. That's the main thing here. I mean, okay, if you're going to have this theory, you know, you got to back it up with some legit information here. And there's just no way to prove this.
Not only is there no way to prove it, but it came out of thin air.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there's any evidence or even suggestions that this could be true. No way to prove it is putting it generously.
I want to know what folks think out there about this whole conspiracy theory. The number to call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Other highlights from today's presser, of course, Michigan State hits the road to take on Ohio State tomorrow, a 9 p.m. tip for that one. Matt Costello, he elaborated on Tom Crean last week saying that Costello has played himself into the NBA. Costello went on to say, quote, "I hope he's right. That would be nice." Matt Costello also talked about Denzel Valentine saying, quote, "He's National Player of the Year in my mind right now and hopefully in all of your minds as well." Of course, Valentine also talked about how, he feels very honored that his teammates have backed up, his bid, if you will, for National Player of the Year. So there was a lot of talk on that. Also, a few notes that I took while listening to the press conference. Marvin Clark, he was also addressed, in the vocal cords of Izzo, talking about how Marvin Clark is taking strides to improve each and every game. And he also elaborated on this being his highest scoring team that he has coached. So many ways to go with this now. Of course, again, they are on an eve matchup against Ohio State tomorrow. And, I want to ask right now, Isaac, because this is around the time of the year where, we start talking March Madness. We start talking bracketology. Where would you seed Michigan State right now? Are they a top five seed in the NCAA tourney?
A top five seed? I think they're a two seed at this point. I think Michigan State has played themselves through a very tough schedule. Denzel Valentine injury, whether real or fake. No, it's real. I mean, I'm not even going to go there. But the fact is this team's gone through adversity. They fought through it. The Big Ten, if you ask me, is the toughest conference in America right now with the way that I was playing. I still believe that Maryland's a great team despite the lack of leadership and really coming to fruition of Mello Trimble. But I think it's been a great year for MSU overall despite a few rough spells. I think they're a two seed also simply because of the fact that there's no clear leader of the pack. You could say Villanova, but the Big East is always a wild card because you see these competitions between the SEC and the Big Ten, Big 12, or the Big Ten and the ACC. You don't see really any collaboration between the Big East and other conferences. They just play within each other. So I'm interested to see Villanova and Xavier when they play. But outside of that, we don't know if Villanova is for real. So I'd say they're the best team, but no team has really pushed themselves that far ahead of the pack, just like Kentucky was last year.
And that's what's going to make, again, this year in men's college hoops so interesting when it comes to March, because there is no clear-cut team that you say, okay, if that team don't win at all, okay, something's wrong. You know what I mean? Last year you did, like you said, Isaac, you had Kentucky. But as of right now, USA Today has Michigan State as a two seed. I'm here on ESPN.com as Joe Lunardi has put out his latest bracket, and he has Villanova, Kansas, Oklahoma, and North Carolina as the top seeds. He has Michigan State slated as a number three seed. So it's interesting. Again, it's still early to throw out predictions here, but again, it's the time of the year where you start, seeing what sticks. It's going to be very interesting to see how this year finishes for Michigan State, because I do think that they're going to be a top five seed somewhere in the bracket. If I had to slate right now where I would put them, I would put them at probably three or four. I could definitely see two as well, Isaac. But in just a second, we're going to hit our second break and briefly talk about Michigan. Again, they fall to Maryland yesterday. Michigan, bubble team, will they get into the NCAA tourney? We'll talk that and more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. All right, welcome back, ladies and gents. I want to give you guys an update on our top sports movie of all time battle. Last week, it was a close one. And we have our first upset, I guess you can say, of this whole tournament. The Mighty Ducks upset Raging Bull. 6-5, so the Mighty Ducks moves on. And this week, we're going to kind of speed it up because this Sunday, of course, the Oscars take place, hosted by the one, the only, one of my favorite comedians of all time, Chris Rock. Looking forward to the Oscars this weekend. But this week, up until Wednesday, we're going to have this battle going down. Hoop Dreams versus Rudy. This is going to be an interesting one, folks, because you really could go either way here. So if you want to vote on Hoop Dreams versus Rudy up until Sunday, and then from Thursday to Friday, we're going to have Remember the Titans go at it against Caddyshack. So right now, again, if you want to call in with a vote, 517-355-9527. Again, we'll postpone Remember the Titans versus Caddyshack for Thursday, starting on Thursday. But until Wednesday, Hoop Dreams taking on the one and the only, Rudy. What's your vote, Isaac? I'm curious.
See, this is a very tough one for me. I'm a huge fan of both of these movies. I have to go Rudy, though. I think there's something special about dramatizing the whole situation. I love Hoop Dreams, but pure documentaries don't necessarily take the artistry, I guess you could say, of movies like Rudy that do a great job of capturing the essence and spirit of the event. And Rudy also, if you ask me, that's the greatest underdog story of all time because it's a small victory, but something they worked so hard for. That's not Rocky. It's Rudy that's the greatest underdog story ever. So
no.
My vote's for Rudy, and just a heads up, it will be for some time.
No, Rudy, don't get me wrong. Rudy's a classic. It is a classic. But I kind of feel the same way, you know, with Rudy that I do with Hoosiers. I think at times Rudy is slow.
Ugh.
At times, Rudy is slow, and I'm like, all right, you know, give me some drama here. Give me something. You know what I mean? It's a great story. Don't get me wrong. It's a great underdog story. And I think that, you know, to address your point there, I think that Rocky will forever be the greatest underdog story of all time. You know, interesting. I was doing some research over the weekend, Isaac. Sports Illustrated did their top 10 movies of all time list. Of course, they had Rocky as number one. And it was just so their list is I encourage you all to go on SI. I don't have SI's list in front of me, but They had a very intriguing list, and I think we missed a few when it comes to our nominations that would have been worthy of a top 10 bid as well. But for me, I'm going with Hoop Dreams. I love Hoop Dreams. I think it's a fantastic documentary. It's real. Now, you get to see these two kids from the inner city of Chicago fighting for an NBA dream, and, you know, you get to see the roller coaster of emotions. They go from high school prospects to, you know, one of them goes through a really tough injury, realizes that his NBA dreams aren't going to come true. Isaiah Thomas makes a cameo. But just to see that emotion, you know, from being a high prospect to, you know, the downside of an injury to realizing that your NBA dream isn't going to come true, how it affects their respective families around them. It's just real. It's raw. It's emotional. Got to go with Hoop Dreams, one of my all-time faves.
I love Hoop Dreams, but you and I had this before this matchup was actually announced. Should it be in the actual list?
I said no. Exactly. But I got such an overwhelming bite back from our listeners saying Hoop Dreams, I want Hoop Dreams in there. I said, why not? Why not throw it in there for fun?
No, and that's fine, but I still take into account the fact that raw emotion is so poignant because it is real, it is live, all of that. So you can't necessarily give them as much credit as maybe being able to fictionalize the story, or not fictionalize, but dramatize it.
Yeah, I hear you. I definitely hear you on that. But didn't you make the argument about, okay, what about a film like Raging Bull, which recounts, and I always forget the boxer who De Niro is portraying, but, you know, that's a portrayal of a real boxer. You know what I mean? Real events, quote unquote, that have certainly been, you know, over-dramatized, to use your word, for film purposes. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times have we seen films based on a true story, but, you know, the events that really happen are over the top to make it more appealing to the viewer. So it happens all the time. But call in, though. Again, Hoop Dreams versus the great Rudy. 517-355-9527. I'm going to tie in this Michigan conversation and, you know, whether or not this team is on the bubble with our weekend winners. Let's close out the show with weekend winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and deliver to you who we thought had the best weekend. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best.
All right, I've got a few weekend winners for you all. Of course, I have to go with Rachel Banham. Even in the loss, she was spectacular. Again, the single greatest offensive performance I've ever witnessed in person. She was spectacular. I see what the hype is about. 52 points against the Michigan State Spartans. Also, Ariel Powers and Tori Jankowska. Big ups to Jankowska for getting out of that funk that also plagued her prior to that Minnesota tip-off. And Ariel Powers coming so close to possibly breaking the single-game record for Michigan State women's basketball history. Denny Hamlin, winner of yesterday's NASCAR season opener, the 58th annual Daytona 500. I caught the highlight. And again, folks, he won by literally a nose. Wow. Yeah, Hamlin, he came out on top of a photo finish alongside Martin Truex Jr., edged out Truex by 1/100th of a second. Unbelievable stuff. And also Anthony Davis, yeah, against my Detroit Pistons. Isaac, you know, you are from New Orleans. You are a big New Orleans Pelican fan. You're actually rocking the cap right now. He was spectacular. 59 points, 20 boards, joining Shaquille O'Neal and Wilt Chamberlain as the only players in NBA history to score 55 points or more and grab 20 or more rebounds in a single game. One weekend loser, I have to go with the Michigan Wolverines. They came very, very close to topping the Maryland Terrapins on a very bad shooting night for Melo Trimble, who has had a topsy-turvy season, to say the least. He shot 30% yesterday, and now the discussion is whether or not Michigan is on the bubble. They are certainly on the bubble. I think they need at least one more win, one more standout victory to solidify a spot in the NCAA tourney. I think that they have to beat Wisconsin, Isaac. They got Northwestern. They certainly can't lose against Northwestern. No. That would be, oh my gosh. You talk about being on the bubble. The bubble will be huge if they lose to Northwestern. That can't happen. They still don't have Caris LeVert back. You know what my conspiracy theory is on that. I'll dive more into that during tomorrow's show. But a tough loss, a great outing by Mark Donnell yesterday. Derek Walton Jr. as well. Tough loss for the Wolverines, though. They are my weekend loser.
Well, and they played a good game against Maryland.
But they did.
My weekend winner. First off, Anthony Davis. You always do this. You steal my thunder, soften the blow against you. But Anthony Davis, here's what he did yesterday.
Drummond comes over. Eight on the shot clock. And on a fall away. Got it again. Anthony Davis up to 57. An amazing shot.
And that was the fall away against Andre Drummond, who played perfect defense there. My other weekend winner, me. I'm a little bit upset because Anthony Davis stole my thunder 100%, but I was going off in rec basketball. Al, after one of my shots, somebody shouted, they closed me out, and they screamed, miss. And I was on fire at this point. Before the ball goes into the basket, I take the little Kobe stepping crane forward. I say, I don't miss. And it goes in. It splashes.
Stop, really?
It was beautiful. So that was fantastic.
Man.
And then, you know, but yeah, Rachel Banham and Anthony Davis totally stole my thunder. But those are my weekend winners.
So you guys are in the IM League. How are you guys doing so far?
Still not very good. But I had a good game yesterday. So that's what's important.
So you did Rachel Banham it up. Like, yeah, I guess good individual performance. But you got the dub? You got the dub, though, right, didn't you?
Not yesterday, no.
Oh, so you guys lost even though you had a great performance. So
the
yeah,
total
you did Rachel
Banham. Yeah.
Yeah, you did Rachel Banham it up. So, all right. Well, it was a good weekend, to say the least. A lot of good sports on the tube. And we are out of time, folks, on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We hope to see you back here tomorrow, same place, same time. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.